Hello, I am Father Alejandro Puello, and this is my reflection for the second Sunday of Lent. This weekend we read the Transfiguration, Matthew chapter 17. Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up to the mountain to see himself transfigured. He reveals his glory to them. Now, I find it interesting that if you grabbed your missal, you would see that it says that we are reading from verse 1 through 9, except that that's not quite true. We're reading from the second half of verse 1 through verse 9. And you might ask yourself, well, what's the first half of verse 1? The first half of verse 1 are the words, "And after 6 days." I find this tremendously interesting because it provides context for us. But when we read it during the weekend, we skip that part. The church likes to streamline the reading, so it sometimes makes us skip certain details. But I think this particular one is of interest to us. Because you might, like myself, ask, well, what happened 6 days ago? Here's what happened 6 days ago. If you turn your page back on the gospel and you go a chapter before, what you are going to see is the discussion that Jesus has with the disciples. Who do people say that I am? And there, you get to see Peter be inspired by God to say, "You are the Son of the living God, the Messiah." Fantastic. It's a high point in the spiritual life. Peter recognizes Jesus as his Lord. He recognizes him as the Savior. And then 30 seconds later, he puts his foot in his mouth as soon as Jesus says that he's going to have to die as part of his mission. And he gets the most savage rebuke you could get from Jesus. "Get behind me, Satan." 6 days after that, Jesus takes Peter, James, and John up the mountain and reveals his full glory to them. The reason this detail matters is because it reveals something that I think sometimes we take for granted about how God works and about how God loves and about how the spiritual life really works. You see, the same man that Jesus just called Satan, 6 days later, he is revealing to him his full glory. Now, for us, we fall often into the trap of thinking, man, I have fallen, I have sinned, I have done something dumb, and it's game over. God will never again show me his love, his mercy, he won't give me a glimpse of his presence in my life. We get in this pattern of thinking that the spiritual life is either a constant falling or a constant trending upwards, a constant line of growth. And it's not. It's a roller coaster ride. It's a roller coaster ride. And there's a few lessons to learn from that. The first is that Peter, the same man who at one point answers Jesus' call, completely taking a risk, right? It's a big moment in his spiritual life. It's also the same man who freaks out when the storm comes and they're on the Sea of Galilee and with the other disciples wakes him up to save him. And then sometime later, this is the same Peter that says, "Call me Lord," and walks on the water only to 10 seconds later start sinking in the water. This is the same Peter that after that recognizes Jesus as the Messiah and then tells him, but don't do God's plan. And is rebuked with, get behind me, Satan. Then is the same Peter that reveals by his behavior in a moment of grace where God reveals himself in the transfiguration. What do we get to see? We get to see the real Peter. We get to see the Peter that God is calling to the position of the rock. The Peter that we've seen be impulsive, that we've seen be at times selfish, is the same Peter that then offers to build three tents, not for himself, but for Jesus, Moses, and Elijah. He recognizes that something good is happening there, and rather than trying to make it about himself, he makes it entirely about the good that is happening there. He tries to keep it going. And in the spiritual life, we have those moments when we cooperate with God's grace, and the real us, the one that God made us to be, is unburdened by the baggage of our sins and of our brokenness and comes out. And our best instincts and our best tendencies just become obvious. The impulsive, insecure Peter becomes the selfless, discerning Peter in that moment. But here's the deal for you and me. We have to recognize that that's an up and down, that that's a roller coaster ride, that Peter is also, after this, going to deny Jesus three times later on, after seeing his glory, after seeing him transfigured, which brings me to lesson number one. No miracle is big enough to keep you faithful to God forever. No miracle is big enough to keep you faithful to God forever. Faithfulness is a daily decision to persevere in relationship with the Lord, to choose him over and over and over and over and over. Because this Peter who sees Jesus transfigured also manages to find some way of denying him because of fear later on. But because he exercises the one virtue that I think is essential for the spiritual life, that deep perseverance and commitment to the Lord, he always keeps coming back. The reason we get to see his ups and downs is because he keeps coming back. He keeps coming back to Christ. So yes, we get to see his worst. Get behind me, Satan. Denying Jesus three times. But we also get to see his best. We get to see him, let me build three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. We get to see the same man that Jesus calls Satan become saint. So this brings me to point number two. If no miracle is enough to keep you faithful, if it's a daily choice, then it also has to be a daily choice not to give up. Not to give up. Not to give up when you fall. Not to give up when you have the moments when you deny Jesus three times and when you find yourself acting a little bit like Satan, getting in the way of God's plan. Sometimes out of fear, sometimes out of stubbornness, sometimes out of, you know, brokenness. What I want you to take from this episode in the gospel is this. the difference between Peter and many others. The difference between what makes the saints different is that they do not give up on the relationship. They keep coming back to it even after they've done great, terrible, awful sins. They keep trying to improve. They keep humbling themselves. They keep at it. Because the same Peter that denies Jesus three times later on has the guts, cooperates with enough of God's grace to say, I believe in Christ and I'm willing to die for him, and then gets nailed to the cross himself. So here's what I want you to meditate on for this week. You should have hope not only for yourself, but for the worst of us. You should have hope not only for yourself, but for the worst of us. Because if the same guy that gets called Satan can be a saint, then maybe there is hope for me to become a saint as well. Maybe there is hope also for the people that I think are truly lost. God keeps providing the opportunities to rise up and respond to his love. That is the key. Not giving up in the relationship, because he does not give up on you. Of realizing, I have fallen, I will go back to reconciliation and I will keep going. I have made a mistake, I will learn from it, I will pray more, I will give myself over to the Lord even more, and I will let him transform and heal me. That is what I want you to take away from this. The most impressive part of this gospel is not that Jesus reveals himself in his glory to Peter, is that he does so knowing that that's the same Peter that will deny him three times. Which leaves me one last point. If Jesus is not stopped from showing his glory to Peter by Peter acting so badly that he has to call him Satan, do not ever fall into the trap of thinking that your sin can stop God. God bless.